Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. On this show, we aim to make you a more intelligent real estate investor. Happy New Year to all of you. If you're joining us on the audio podcast, you will not get to see one of my Christmas presents. Yes, I got a nice little winter hat from my wife, and we went to Belgium for a few days during the Christmas holiday in the city of Bruges, which is absolutely beautiful. So my wife, we went to this beer experience. And she gave me, I said, oh, I love that sweatshirt. After we went through the gift shop and she snuck over and got it. So I'm wearing my Belgian Bruges beer experience and my winter hat. It's a cold January 3rd. So good morning to all of you. I hope you had a wonderful holiday and a wonderful new year. This is our Q&A episode where we dive into three questions from our viewers that have questions about real estate, taxes, anything that's on your mind. You can always do that by going over to our website. Go to morrisinvest.com and you'll click on the little microphone tab right there on the right-hand side of the screen, and you can and leave me a voicemail message about 30 seconds or so. You can also explore all of the other amazing blog posts and video content that we have at morrisinvest.com. Now, before we get into today's Q&A episode with the three questions from viewers, I wanted to just kind of take a moment to reflect on the year and think about where we're going in 2022. You know, for so many of you, you want to make a change in your life, and this is a good resetting period. Now, I know there are people out there that say that, you know, New Year's resolutions don't work. And the reason that they don't work for most people is because they try to bite off more than they can chew. I highly recommend a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. Now, the reason that this habit-forming book is so powerful is because it's rooted in the idea that we want to make small, little, incremental changes every day. That's all we need to do. These small changes, and then we also stack our habits next to things that are currently working for us. For instance, if you want to lose weight, right? And you want to work out, that's part of your routine. Well, instead of, you know, you every morning you have that cup of coffee, well, maybe you put your workout sneakers right next to the coffee pot, you know, so you see those sneakers after you have your cup of coffee, then you go on your walk or you go on your run or whatever it is you're going to do. But you want to start stacking habits near things that are currently working for you. This is very, very important. Also, it's a great way to break habits, right? If you constantly see that wine bottle that's near the nighttime snack that you have, and you think, oh, I'm just going to have another glass of wine, and you want to get alcohol out of your life, well, don't put the wine bottle near this nighttime snack. You know, little things like that are very, very powerful. And so habit stacking is very powerful, but also not biting off more than you can chew and making small little incremental changes. And what he points out in the book is that we have 365 days in the year. We don't need to go to extreme lengths on day one of January to make a change. We just can make little changes over the course of 365 days, and all of those things compounded are revolutionary. Think about learning a new language or learning how to invest in real estate or starting to build up enough of a money for down payment to buy your first real estate investment, right? You don't need to do it all today, but we can start making changes where you start to set a little money aside every day with some compound interest that will enable you to invest in real estate. And I wanted to kind of start today with an email that I got from Brandon. Brandon, I hope you'll forgive me for paraphrasing some of your email. Keep some of your personal details out of this email. But this was a really touching email that I got on New Year's Eve, which is my birthday. And I don't think Brandon even knew that it was my birthday. But he sent a really beautiful email. And I think it's so powerful because many of you want to make a change in your life. And Brandon did exactly that. About a year and a half ago, he started on this path, and it took him just about a year or so to make this major shift in his life and to dramatically increase his income and make a change in becoming a real estate investor and real estate agent as well and leave his old career. So everyone, listen to this email because you can all do this. Okay, you can all make a dramatic shift in your life, but you don't have to do it on day one. Small little changes. So I just want to read this email because it was so motivational. It meant a lot to me. And I think you all listening to this episode can learn so much from this. He says, Brandon writes, Clayton, a year and a half ago, you were gracious with your time. I did a Zoom interview for his radio show. He did a radio show in Nebraska. He asked me to be a guest on his radio show, and I was, and we had a great conversation about investing and the market and so forth. And he says, a lot has happened in the past month since you were a part of that that interview. And he said, you were a big part of it. It all started with your YouTube videos 5 to 6 years ago. And because my commute to work was about 45 minutes one way, I would listen to those real estate investing videos and other podcasts and audiobooks every day on my drive to and from work. So I learned a lot from you and from others. I started on October 19th, 2020 as a commercial real estate investment realtor at Century 21. So he went for it and wanted to become a real estate agent. Despite not having my real estate state license, I started those classes that week and I have my license by the end of the year. So he got his license. He obtained his real estate license on January 11th of last year and signed his first deal 11 days later. Listen to that. By the time that deal was closed, he'd closed two other deals, including my very first ever closing, which was just over $1 million. In all of 2021, I've almost quadrupled my income from 2020 and have had three deals closing in Q1 of 2022 of more than $2 million. Way to go, Brandon. He said, your videos were the beginning of all of this. It's not hyperbole to say that you changed my life by first introducing me to real estate investing, which will now be my full-time career, as well as an investment on the side. He said, thank you for the work you do. Keep it up. Don't let anyone allow themselves to be told they can't do it. That's why I wanted to share this, because he says they can, especially when they begin it with listening to this show and taking action. So Brandon, happy new year to you. Thank you for sharing this beautiful email with me and my audience. I hope you don't mind that I kept out some of your personal details in here, but I just wanted to share this because it's so motivating. In a short amount of time, Brandon was able to completely remake his life and start real estate investing. And I just want you to realize you can do the same thing. Okay. Without further ado, this is the first episode of 2022. Let's start with Tanya, who has a question for us about real estate investing. Tanya, take it away.
Hi, my name's Tanya from Cocoa Beach, Florida. My question is, how do you get creative about your down payments and using other avenues instead of the traditional ways?
Okay, thank you, Tanya. Well, I think, you know, honestly, traditional ways, there, if you want to ask what a person who makes a down payment on a rental property or any kind of investment, a traditional way is that you just have cash in the bank. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's the traditional way, right? Would you all agree with me? You have money in savings and you use it. So that's the traditional way. You save up and you have enough money, 20, 25, 30, 30. For us, like our rental properties at Morris Invest, the minimum down payment is about $35,000-$40,000 for one of our new construction properties. So if you save up that amount of money in cash, then you make that payment, then down payment, and then, you know, financing the rest. Well, what's a more creative way of doing that? Well, you know, obviously using your own cash is one way, but borrowing money, you know, leveraging other money that you may already be sitting on. So one really creative way would be the home you live in, right? What does a home equity line of credit look like for you, for the home that you live in? Obviously, we saw record increase in home values over 2021. And as Brandon wrote in his email, he's got a number of closings already coming up and sky's the limit for 2022. So maybe pull out some equity in the house that you currently live in, Tanya. Maybe you're sitting on $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in equity that a bank is going to give you a home equity line of credit. Great. Take that home equity line of credit and use that towards a down payment on a rental property. Again, other people's money, people. Remember, use other people's money. Use the bank's money. Look, these banks, you know, are propped up and bailed out by the Federal Reserve while Americans get screwed in this system. But the big banks, right, they're too big to fail. And so the Federal Reserve can continue to pump billions of dollars to these guys to make sure that they're liquid, make sure that they can continue to lend money. Take advantage of that then, right? If they spend $120 billion making sure that these banks can lend money out to people, then take advantage of that. Right? Why should the big banks be the only ones reaping the rewards of this? You should be able to take advantage of this as well as an investor. So I would say, first of all, one creative way is to tap into the equity in your own home. Now, maybe you have a rental property. Maybe you could also tap into the equity of that property. Another thing to do is to look at private money. Who around you is willing to invest in a property with you as a partnership? You know, we have a partnership program at Morris Invests where maybe you don't have all of the capital up front, but maybe you have a friend or a relative that wants to form an LLC together as a, maybe a silent partner. and they receive 25% of the rent profits, you receive 75%, whatever the structure is, or 50-50, they've put up the down payment amount, you figure it out among your friends, right? That's a creative way to do it. Another way is to leverage hard money lenders. So we've mentioned people like DLP or Direct Lending Partners. That's a company I've used in the past where they've been able to set up $1 million line of credit for us for investing in different rental properties. Again, you know, using hard money lenders, private money lenders, relatives. Also, another really creative way is to tap into your retirement accounts. Now, I know that this is like a taboo subject, right? Because you've been force-fed and lied to by the mainstream media and by these big banks. Well, if you have a 401k plan, that's your money. That's not the bank's money. That's not Fidelity's money. That's your money, by the way. Okay, so it's sitting there doing nothing right now. And you could tap into that. You could pull that money out of the 401k. You could do a withdrawal. You could even, or borrow against it. The very first few rental properties I ever bought, I did with my 401k. I borrowed from my 401k, not withdrew. I borrowed from it. I took $50,000 out, which was the maximum that I was allowed to take out from Fidelity at the time. And I was able to take that $50,000 very simply, by the way. I think the website was like my401k.com was Fidelity's 401k, you know, portal. And I went in and clicked on borrow. It was like three clicks, no joke. And they transferred $50,000 to my personal bank account like the next day. And I used that to buy my first few rental properties. So that's a creative way. And then you pay it back through your payroll and you can set the payback time, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, et cetera. And you pay it back out of your payroll check back into your 401k. That's a creative way to do it. Or maybe you've got an IRA that's sitting there doing nothing. You know, our team specializes in self-directed IRAs. So maybe you've got an old IRA or an old 401k from another company that you left many years ago that's just sitting there collecting dust. That's another creative way. Move that money over into a self-directed IRA. Our team can help you do that in about 10 minutes. So again, and you can use that money to invest in a property. You can use that as a down payment with financing the rest inside of a self-directed IRA. See, my brain is moving on this January 3rd. I've got a lot of ideas about this. So don't let mainstream media or propaganda from these big banks tell you that you can't be creative and do it. I've done it all. I've done every one of the things I just talked about. Self-directed IRA, hard money, borrowing from my 401k. I mean, that's how I was able to buy so many rental properties over so many years and build a multi-million dollar portfolio. That's how I was able to do it, by being creative. So Tanya, thank you for thinking outside the box. Again, if any of those things are of interest to you, we have a bunch of programs at Morris Invest that can help you sort of unlock those hidden ideas. So book a call with our team. Just go to morrisinvest.com. Click on the book a call tab. It's totally free. You have nothing to lose. We'll jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes and help you kind of chart a path forward for you in the future of 2022. Okay. Our next question comes to us from AJ.
Clayton, the question is that I'm working with your team and trying to get my first property and trying to get my IRA transferred into a self-directed IRA, but I'm told that those properties come with a higher interest rate. So I wasn't too sure whether I should wait for my other investments to come through or go the SDIRA route. So need some help there. Yep, thank you.
Well, thank you, AJ. You know, I can't give you financial advice, but if you wait, I will say this personally, if you wait, you will always be waiting. You know, if you're going to haggle over a slightly higher interest rate because you're buying a property using a using what's known as a non-recourse loan. So remember, if you're buying it inside of a self-directed IRA, it sounds, AJ, like you're working with our team. We have multiple loan options. And so it sounds like what you're doing is you're doing a non-recourse loan, which has a slightly higher interest rate. But I want you to remember the benefits of that, right? It's not against your personal credit. So now you're able to acquire a piece of cash flowing rental property, new construction in your self-directed IRA using the bank's money, and it's not tied to your personal credit because it's non-recourse. So I personally love the non-recourse route. And if you have a 1% or a 2% interest or 3% interest higher than you might otherwise because you're using this vehicle, I just want you to weigh all of these options, right? It's not a one size fits. It's not a this is the only way you're going to acquire properties for the rest of your life, right? Mix and match, utilizing some of the self-directed option, using a self-directed IRA option, using some outside of the self-directed IRA, so the cash flow you can benefit from today. But remember, this is all growing tax-free inside of a self-directed IRA. And it's a hedge against inflation. So if you run those numbers and you think about what is the internal rate of, all I care about, honestly, AJ, is the internal rate of return. So what do those numbers look like? Are you getting a great return on investment? And is it safe? Is it secure? Is it inside of an investment vehicle that's going to grow tax-free for the rest of your life? Again, paying slightly higher interest rate using a non-recourse loan. We have whole videos here on the non-recourse loan program. What the bank is doing is basically saying, hey, we don't care about you, AJ. What we care about is this asset, that it's in a great neighborhood, in a great school district, beautiful new construction. It's got a tenant in it. It's cash flowing. And we, the bank, are going to place financing on that property, regardless of who is the owner of the property, AJ or whoever else. It doesn't matter. Because we believe in the asset itself. So we're not running personal credit. We don't care about your personal credit. Maybe you have a shifty, you know, you've had some trouble in your past with credit. That's why non-recourse works so great. It also is great for international investors. But it's also great for leveraging some of these benefits of purchasing properties inside of a self-directed IRA and other things. So, AJ, I can't tell you to wait. I don't know what you mean by wait for other investments to come forth. I just think if you have the ability right now to leverage a part of your self-directed account and use that with a non-recourse loan, absolutely, that would be something that I would do. But again, I would just weigh all of your numbers. At the end of the day, AJ, the numbers don't lie. So if it makes more sense for you to wait, then absolutely wait. But if the numbers are going to give you a great return and you're going to be able to grow this property and asset tax-free with the cash flow from these tenants over the course of, 15, 20 years, tax-free, then personally, I would jump on that. So again, totally up to you personal. I can't give you direction one way or the other. I'm not a financial advisor. But again, the numbers don't lie, AJ. So I think that might be the best way to go about it. I've got properties in all sorts of different vehicles in my self-directed account. I've got them outside of my self-directed account. I've got a diverse portfolio of properties doing different things for me with different financial products, different financing. Anyway, AJ, I hope that helps. Again, just follow the numbers and what makes sense for you. But if you're of the mindset of just waiting, you're always going to wait. It's the same people that are like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy a new computer this year because there's going to be a new computer that'll come out next year. Yeah, there will always be a new computer from Apple that comes out, right? So if you're going to wait, you're always going to be waiting. If it makes sense for you now to start building wealth inside of this vehicle and the numbers make sense, then go for it. All right, our next question comes to us from Max. Max, take it away.
Hi, Clayne. Quick question. Can you talk about some of the resources that are out on the internet available to kind of research markets and figure out what markets I could kind of look into? I'm already in one market in the U.S. and want to kind of look at different options to kind of diversify. And I want to learn of some tools available that I could kind of take a look at different markets and or states in the U.S. that I could build my real estate portfolio. Thank you.
Sure, Max. I mean, there's a lot of different resources, but let me give you the framework first before you just start blindly going to the internet searching for different news articles about different real estate markets. Because when you do a Google search for like best real estate markets, they're going to be written by people like CNBC and big news organizations that are not investors and they're not writing about investment. What they're writing about is primary home markets where people are going to live in these homes as a primary retail market. For instance, like Boise, Idaho. Boise, Idaho is a great town, but I would never invest there, right? It's a great family home market. It was one of the hottest markets in 2021, but I'm never going to invest in properties in Boise. Way overpriced. The ROI doesn't make any sense at all. But if you're reading an article from like CNBC, they're going to talk about the top five hottest home markets. Ignore those articles. Those are not for you and me as real estate investors. They do not meet our criteria at all. Okay, so let me just put that out there. But let me give you the framework. Now, I've got full videos here on our YouTube channel and on our podcast. You can go through our archives here on our podcast, and we'll link it up in the description of this video as well so you can access the playlist that we have on identifying best real estate markets. So Max, I would encourage you to go watch those videos, because where we lay it out specifically, I'll go in more depth in those videos. And we actually show you home examples. We show you numbers. We show you walkthrough videos of different markets. So watch those videos. But let me just give you a framework of what we look for in a market. Now, my company, Morris Invest, our team on the ground, we will not go into a market and start building new construction properties until all of these things are met. All of these pieces of criteria are met. Okay. Number one, we want to make sure that there's low crime. Okay. So low crime, where do you look for that? You can look on local police websites. You can look on, you can also read local newspapers, police blotters. Okay. There's, you know, local newspapers have police blotters where they categorize the types of crimes that are being committed. That's one thing you can do if you want to go in depth about it. You're going to read about people breaking into cars and things like that. You can also read FBI's website for different crime statistics in different states and towns. Okay. All of those things contribute to the data. And then you can make phone calls. You know, you can get on the phone and call local police departments, call local property management companies in particular towns that you identify to see what the crime levels look like. Because a lot of the crime statistics are going to be based on zip codes, and zip codes often blend a lot of neighborhoods that might not necessarily be joined together just because they happen to be in the same numbered postal zip code. Remember, postal zip codes are not necessarily like broken down by neighborhoods. What I'm saying is it's kind of an arbitrary numbering system. And so very often you can actually have a zip code that's deceiving by its crime statistics. So you got to be very, very careful about that. There's some good internet resources for that. A few that I just mentioned, but overall we want crime to be low and dropping. Okay. So like, for instance, where we build our new construction properties in West Texas and other areas, all of this criteria has been met, and we'll spend over a year analyzing a market before we ever enter that market. Okay. So crime. Next is jobs, Max. We want to make sure that jobs are growing, not leaving. Very, very important. And with jobs, we want to make sure that there's a diversity of jobs there, not just one oil refinery or one super Walmart. We want universities. We want auto manufacturing. We want a whole different range of jobs, so that if auto manufacturing suddenly leaves, the whole town doesn't go dead, which is what happened. I mean, look through the Rust Belt, you know, look, all you need to do is like go into like rural Ohio, or I mean, look at some of these towns where one manufacturer leaves and the whole town is decimated. We don't want that, and we don't want to invest there. So where we build our properties are in university areas, where universities, healthcare systems, so additional hospitals. Hospitals aren't going to China. Hospitals are staying in the United States. That's one thing you can't outsource, right? Yet, yet anyway, right? So hospitals, universities, oil discovery and collection, engineering, all sorts of jobs. So we want job growth, population increase, not decrease. We also want great school districts. So we only now build our houses in great school districts. Why? Well, makes sense, right? Parents are going to want to move there for their children to be in these great school districts. So we would much rather be in these great school districts, pay a little bit more in property taxes, but you're getting the benefit of tenants that want to stay a long time. Okay. They're going to stay there through, you know, graduation. So we want to be in school districts that are top notch. Okay. So again, low crime, population growth, diversity of jobs, good school districts. Then more broadly, Max, I want to make sure that I'm in landlord friendly states. There are a lot of states that are not landlord friendly. Avoid at all costs investing in California or a lot of the blue states. I'm going to tell you right now, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, stay away. You know, you do not want to be investing in these blue states that have very onerous regulations. Makes it very difficult as a landlord to have to evict a tenant who hasn't paid for a year. I mean, it's ridiculous what you have to go through hiring a lawyer in New Jersey to evict a tenant who hasn't paid specifically because they knew they could work the system. We've had that experience. California is the worst. So avoid some of these states that are not landlord friendly. Texas is the number one landlord friendly state in the country. Indiana, as of last year's statistics, was also landlord friendly. However, crime has skyrocketed in Indiana, Indianapolis, and those areas. So that's an area that I'm not investing in. So again, you have to weigh these things. Also, Ohio has seen skyrocketing in certain parts of Ohio. You've seen skyrocketing crime and jobs leaving. So you have to weigh all of these things. Yes, it might be landlord friendly in Indiana, but crime is growing in parts of that state. Jobs are leaving. So again, not an area that I would want to be investing in. So Texas, again, top of the list. You have other areas like Tennessee and other places that are also very landlord friendly. That means that they make no bones about letting you evict a tenant if a tenant is not paying in that property. They'll be very, it won't take very long. Let me just put it that way. And there's a whole other range of things that we look at. We want to make sure that property managers in these particular areas are top notch. So we only work with the best property managers. Have they been in business for 5 years or longer? Do they have great software that they communicate with their tenants? You know, how do they screen their tenants? Do they do criminal background checks, job, employment checks, all of those things? So Max, those are just a few of the things I'm looking at, okay? But again, you can use local resources in those areas to look at local school grading system to see how the school fares. You know, is it an A school, B school, et cetera? You can look at the jobs that are coming in, look at the Chamber of Commerce website, look at other job growth statistics from those states on their websites, and you can see these things moving into this area. So I would just combine a lot of that, U.S. Census data, FBI website, crime statistics locally from the local sheriff's department, population growth. Again, all of those things are kind of going to go into your soup to decide where you're going to start investing. Again, that's what we look at before we ever even start thinking about building a foundation of properties in those areas, before we buy land, before we start building a subdivision. All of those things are important to us at Morris Invest. So I hope you find that helpful. If you would like to jump into real estate investing and you are ready to take that plunge, book a call with our team. It's totally free. We'll walk you through what it looks like. We'll help you navigate your financial future. And we'll kind of help you build a roadmap over the year for you. You might not be able to invest yet. That's okay, because we'll maybe 2 years from now, we'll be able to start helping you, and you know, better now to start laying that groundwork. Again, go to morrisinvest.com and click on the microphone button there so you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question, anything that's on your mind about real estate investing, and we will attempt to answer it here on the show. So let's make this 2022 just a killer year, guys. Let's rock it. No excuses. Put one foot in front of the other and let's take action. Become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.